So what I want to begin to do tonight is to begin to teach from the life of Moses. So I want to call it Moses the Meek, the life and the ministry of Moses. That's what I want to begin to do tonight. And I'm likely to be on this for about 12 weeks. But I will have a break after some few weeks because I won't be available for some few weeks. And I've told Brother Elijah, he will take a topic, his own topic. Don't touch this topic. You take your own topic, you do it for like some 4 Tuesdays, and then I'll be back. I was thinking, should I start? In fact, Brahmuwa asked me, am I starting? I said no. You know, so a few hours after, I said yes. You know, because I was thinking, should I break it? But I find out that anyhow, I might not be able to go 3 months at a stretch. So I want to start. And I don't want you to miss it. It will really bless you. It will change the trajectory of your life. It will make you to see yourself in a better light, and it will make you to see the potential of God in your life and how you can kinetic the potential. So try as much as possible. It's tough to come to midweek service. It's tough. You know, you saw that me too, I came late. You know, you get busy wherever you're working. Sometimes you feel like, you know, where the Bible says the love of God constraining us. So the ministry constraineth us. So you must come. So make sure you come. And the rule I've given all of you is that whether you come late, come to Bible study. Even when you come late, make sure you come to Bible study. Let me start by this so that you can get what I mean before I begin to talk about Moses. Two scriptures, two of them you know, but I want to really start from there again so that it will energize you one more to lay emphasis on the word of God and see the potential of what the Lord can do in your life and in my life. It's intriguing to me, actually, when I read this, because I thought Acts chapter 20 that you all know. But what I want to emphasize is the background on which Paul said these words, or those words to them, in verse 32. Paul was going to leave the people, the disciples, the church, the converts, the leaders of the church, the babies in the church, you know, and the old church. The people is labor horn. And that's a big deal, if you don't know. If you labor so much to gather a people, and you are going to leave them, and you're not even sure whether you're going to see them again, because he knew that it was going in bounds. It was going into persecution. It was going to be prosecuted. Whether he would survive it or not, he didn't. And it was leaving a legacy. You know, most of us struggle some kind of legacy we want to give to our children, we want to give to family. And that's why we do all that we do, you know. That's why you have some people, they steal all they can to be able to give things to their children. They steal as though they will not die again. So they build houses everywhere. They build in Nigeria, they build in the US, they build in the UK, they build everywhere, you know. They're afraid to be poor, you know. Some will say, I cannot be poor in this life. And so they steal, they do all kind of things. That's why you have all these young people going to Yahoo. So, but Paul was going to give a legacy that was different from what people run after. And that's one thing I want you to see tonight. To see that what we want to give to generations after us, our children's children, is much more than what money can buy. It's much more than what the investment, you know. We buy shares, we buy investments, we, You know, we have everything. But Paul was not going to leave any of those. He was not even going to tell the elders, ensure that tithes are paid on a regular basis. He was not going even to tell them, please make sure that you expand the church. He was not going to tell them, even do evangelism. He said to them in Acts 20, 32, you know, and I want you to sit, and I want you to hold this dear to you. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you. Okay, see 28. Probably you'll be able to put it in a better context. Take it, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to fill the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The church was purchased by the blood of Jesus, was not gathered by any man. For I know these after my departing, that shall grievous wolves, you know, was warning them, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, you see that, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Can you see that? Can you see that kind of labor? He said, everyone, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, now I'm going. 3 years, I have to go. He said, I commend you to God. I won't be there. But really, I will not be afraid, because I know what is able to keep you. The same word that I preached for 3 years, day and night, the same word I know is able to hold you. And say to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. When you come to Bible study on Tuesdays, say to yourself, I'm going to be built up. Because you're coming to expose yourself to God's word. I'm going to be built up. Paul here was not even emphasizing the state of the people, but he's emphasizing what the world can turn them into. Do you understand that? What the world can make out of them. You can be scattered. Probably you are not together. Probably you're overwhelmed. Probably you are defeated. Probably you are struggling with, you know, one challenge or the other, one habit or the other. Paul was saying that is not the emphasis. The emphasis is the word that is able to build you up. The word is able to take you from where you are and transform your life, transform your situation, transform your story, you know, make you to be like God. He said, I commend you to the word that is able to build you. And not only to build you, to give you an inheritance. All those things you are laboring for, we are struggling for. He said, it's able to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. I want us to put this at the back of our mind throughout this year. You know, you are building your word through your words. And I say the words are God's word. And that's why you have God's word by the grace of God from the left, from the center, from the back. You know, from me and from the servants of the Lord. Those words are able to build you. Say to your neighbor, the word will build you. Men will not build you. Money will not build you. Do you understand that? Money will not build you. We've seen people that have money and then it's actually messed up their lives. Do you understand? They have money, but it messed up their lives because money will not build. Even you can see the vagabond son. He collected money. He collected property. He collected belongings. But it didn't build him. Rather, he finished his life. He makes his life to become reckless. Do you understand? So some of the things you are struggling after will not build. Education
does not build. Education can give enlightenment, exposure. We have people that are well read, and after they finish reading, they concluded there is no God. You understand that? When they understood science to understand, they said there is no God. You get that? And so, since in the world, and you can see that, you know, Solomon, when Solomon was seeking God, he did everything. He tried to build himself through wealth. He tried to build himself through science. He tried to build himself, you know, through women. You know, I don't think even all the people today that say they have wives, they don't know their children. King Sani Ade, you know, MKO, you know, all of them. I don't think even with all the children and the wives they had, I don't think there's any one of them that had 1,000. They understand? I think one of them has about 12 or, you know, 4. There's no one that had 1,000. He tried everything, but he said, vanity upon vanity. In fact, at a stage, when he went on, he said, vanity on vanity and vexation of the spirit. It was not only vanity. He said, vexation of the spirit. Perplexity of the spirit. That's what he said. That was the conclusion. So, all those things did not build him up. And that's why at the closing stage of his research, he said, hear the end of the matter. Fear God. You understand? He said, the end of the matter is not money. The end of the matter is not success. The end of the matter, you know, is not connection. You know? Can I say to you, it just occurred to me, probably I should have said that on Sunday, success is not purpose. You know, if you are successful, it does not mean that you fulfill purpose. You know? So he said, I commend you to the word of God that is able to build you. I don't want you to forget that. Then, 1 Peter. So I'm laying foundation so that, you see, you will listen like what? And you will look like ego. Listen like something and then focus like ego. 1 Peter, see what the Bible says here. Chapter 2. Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. I like that, the way it started. You know, we have a lot of this amongst us. They understand? They had it in that church too. But one thing I want you to see is this. See verse 2. Can I have the fan? This place, I'm not comfortable. Just let me turn it. Don't bother about whether you turn the pages of my Bible. Okay. So, see what he said. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. You know, it's in every church. All those things that we do. Fight here, you know, complain there. He stepped on my toe. He gave me an elbow. He didn't look at me very well. He over-greeted me. He under-greeted me. If I never greeted me. As newborn babes. See, now, the second verse, therefore, reveals the kind of church or the kind of people. So he said, are newborn babes. In other words, one of the hallmarks of a church that is full of babies is guys, is malice. Did you connect that? Do you understand that? When people are getting mature, growing spiritually, you begin to have less of guys, hypocrisies. Do you understand that? Because he connected baby Christianhood to those manifestations. So the manifestation of baby Christian is Kokimio,
pastor nse lo ko mi lati sale doke se mi olohun ko se da mi ni emi no ki o ka lu ko mo lohun. You see, when you begin to do like that, the Bible says that you're a baby. And incidentally, we have so many babies in church. The danger of it is that even we have babies in leadership. But it's saying here, one of the ways you can depart. So, two things I want you to see reading these scriptures. He did not give them instruction that laws to deal with hypocrisy, laws to deal with envies, evil speakings. Do you see that? These are day-to-day problems. But he said, as newborn babes, if you want to stop evil speaking, you will not stop evil speaking by giving 10 laws. Number one law. Shebi timba soro. Ni woni moshe evil speaking. I will never say, good morning. You don't respond. I don't want to do evil speaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to do evil speaking. You know? Or envies. I don't want to envy anybody. So, I'm going to use that goggle. So that I will not envy. You know, in other words, you can give yourself certain laws to say you want to defeat some negativity. They understand that when I see lady, my body do shiri, shiri, shiri. So I will not shake ladies again. They understand? So you can do that. You know, when I see a lady, I will just begin to skabash. I bind. You can give all yourself all those laws. But here, God is not giving that law. He said, lay all those things aside. Now, as newborn babes, what does he say to newborn babes? What is the instruction? Now, I want you to underline this in your Bible. Desire. Say to your neighbor, desire. 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 Desire is a strong word. You know, desire. So as we go into this new topic, I want you to desire. When you desire, desire is the positive, even covet. Covet is not a negative word, really. You understand that? Desire, covet. You can covet wrong thing, you can covet right thing, isn't it? So it's a desire. In other words, tests. After, long after, do everything for, break every barrier, remove every limitation. The sincere meek is there, but you need to make efforts to drink it. And it's a strong desire that makes you to be able to. Your willingness is not enough. Go beyond willingness. But if I love Bible study, everybody, you know, Yoruba people, have you heard that? Proverbs 33:13. He said, there's nobody that eats more fair in the soup. You read that? Eh? Kosen to man je mo fe ni nu obe. In other words, mo de fe she obe, will you hit steel? You won't. You won't. Omo mi wa Proverbs. Okay. So in other words, you don't hit I'm about to cook. Has anybody heard I'm about to cook? No. So, willingness is not enough. Oh, I'm willing to come. But did you come?
So, desire coveting is stronger than willingness. When you desire something, you break every barrier. You remember the friend of a cripple. You know, they wanted Jesus to heal their friend. And so, they got into the hall. First door was jam-packed. There's no way they could enter. If it's willingness, they just turn to their friend. Do you see that we tried? We have to go home. We come tomorrow. Who says Jesus continues the crusade tomorrow? They went to the second door, jam-packed. They could have said, friend, you see that we love you. Third door, jam-packed. They now said, we know that if we can get this man before Jesus, he'll be healed. What shall we do? How can we do it? Go and get a carpenter. Then go and get a ladder. Do you understand? We know that we can go through the roof. And they went. And then, who is there? They did not stop it. You are disturbing the sermon. They didn't listen. Until they let the man down. That is desire. That is beyond willingness. Desire was what Bartimaeus the blind did. Jesus, son of David, heal me. And said, we don't make noise here. This is a banana island. Here, we are Tush people. Elite, stay here. Jesus! Another one that looks, this is imported trousers. He said, you're disturbing my peace, man. What are you doing here? You don't make noise. You want to break my eardrum. Jesus, you need more than the Lenkenzi for you to have revelation on God's word. There must be a strong desire. That's what the Bible is saying here. It said, desire the sincere meek of the word. You see what it says? The other time, it said, build you up. You can see, one thing that is common with the word of God is the ability to build. It say here, that she may grow thereby. You don't grow by going to mountain. No apologies to people that go to mountain. You don't grow by, praying. You don't grow by seeing a prophet. A pastor lay hands on you. Even when Elisha was saying to Elijah, I want double portion. He did not say, bring your head. He said, no, when you see me, when I'm going. I have it, but I don't have the ability to give it to you. When you see me, you can see, the Bible says, the word of God grew and prevailed. So you can see all over the scriptures that inherent in the word of God is an ability to make you to grow, to build you, to make you grow, to make you prevail. Because God's in you, we prevail. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have any other way but God's way. If anybody says any other thing to you, they are deceiving you. Do you understand that? They are deceiving you. We have some men of God today, they made a merchandise, as the case may be, followership, as the case may be, of online prayer. You have some of us who become been taken by the religion, online prayer, some 5:30 a.m. And some you subscribe to that thing, and then you pray. They are making them rich because with the subscription they make money. And then pray. So some of us Christians have become religious in the way we live our Christian world. You know, some people is in the afternoon. They have the people that lead them in prayer online in the afternoon. You know, I have one or two people that I was trying to intervene, you know, in the activities in my office. When they are supposed to do work, put earpiece, you know, is joining an online prayer. Gbogbo yen esin ni o si mu wa. I'm telling you that what will build you and give you, if it's prayer, when Paul was departing, he will gather them and say, I'm departing. You must pray for 7 days. Say, no. I commit you to God's word, which is able in learning, in trusting, in having revelation in the word of God. Therein your prayer is answered. I've taught us here. God will answer his word when you throw it back to him in prayer. If you like, be sweating. Oh, Lord, go to me. Don't go to me. Don't go to me. Don't go to me. Don't go to me. I'm busy with somebody else. So, the way to get to the top is through the word of God. So, I want to please appeal to us. Desire. When you desire God's word, you want to check it in the morning. When you desire God's word, you want to read relevant books. You know? Relevant books. I have loads of Kenneth Hagin books. So those were the things books I was reading with my Bible when I was small. If you want me to, the only things that I was giving some people sometimes ago, well, return it. I have to go and buy new sets. You know? I have almost all the books of Kenneth Hagin, except the one people took from me and never returned. If you want, I can give you. I can borrow you. Hire it. 2 weeks. Read it. Bring it back. That is your desire. You read relevant books. You read the Bible. You understand that. And then it will begin to change your life. That's preamble. Moses the meek. Let me start. And I want us to read the end of Moses. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34 from verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. oh God. Did you see what is there? Eh? You see what is there? What did you see? Eh? You haven't seen where. You see, according to the word of the Lord, yes, but you need to see something else. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. Who buried him? God buried him over against Bethpoor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day. You know why? Would have made a mecca of it. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. See, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Can you see that? 30 days they were weeping. Can you imagine if they knew where God buried him? It would have been something else. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose, this is underlined in my Bible, verse 5 and 10. And there arose not a prophet since. What about Elijah? What about Elisha? What about Jeremiah? He says, since, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You know where he died? Okay. Probably you get something more. Verse 4, 34:4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land. Did you get that? For some reasons that we see in this study, Moses will not enter into the promised land. But God said, I will make you to see it. So he took him to a place to see the promised land. He said, this is the land. See the fruitful land. That is the promised land. That is where I expected you to take the people into. But you are not going to get into it. But I give you an advantage. Seeds. And after that conversation, he said, and Moses died. I don't know how you read your Bible, and when you think, when you read your Bible, that is intriguing. Now, this is a man of 120 years without sickness. You see that? There was no sickness. There was no, he wasn't using glasses like Brafem is using. You know? He had no orthopedic problem. No arthritis. You know? He did not have hypertension. No diabetes. You know? He didn't have to use braces. You know? Anywhere in the body to correct. He was not using a walking stick. The rod he had is just a fanciful one. Do you understand? In other words, he was a strong, healthy man. And so, after that conversation, God now whispered to him, Moses, you need to come. And Moses said, sir, yeah, I'm coming. And Moses died. Have you heard that before? Have you seen that? And he died. It was like a drama. And after he died, God carried him. And God, okay, Chotiku, Otiku Dada, Otiku. You understand? And God carry him and go and bury him. That is some level of relationship. Because he needed to enter into another world. It wasn't that any sickness happened to him. When God said, you are not going to enter, but I want you to see the promised land. And they saw it, they had conversation. And Moses was not upset when God said, because he was angry. And God said, no, with this anger, you can't continue. I said, so you are not going to see the promised land. He did not backslide, like some of us will. He did not say some bad words to God like some of us would have. You know, like one of my daughters was trying to help me. He said, Pastor, Praise God. Praise the Lord. Money so. That's what I said. You know, I've said it before. I said, Eve, when Jesus, he said to some people, he said, you belong to your father. He said, you are bastards. You belong to your father, the devil.
Church, you took any. Hey, I'm about solo duty. No one more can say, your head like a coconut.
Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil. Everybody will just carry their back. If I look at you, oh, my linear, oh, the Bible, my Lord. Do you get that? Jesus entered into a church. So then they were trading. You know, like some of us, we trade in church too. Not trading as you are selling something. You know, our minds are somewhere. Some of us, you know, we see their friends and then, and Jesus entered and he carried stick. So I was telling me obuyin Jesus omo Jesus ni mi na. You understand that? You know, so that's just a joke, but that just to say to us that the word of God is for rebuke, for correction. They understand that. You must be open to all of them. You don't say that, Pastor Bumi, say it's a rebuke. God said to Moses, he said, no, you are not going to enter into the promised land. If it were Christians of today, Father God, you remember the plague. You remember how I divided the ten cities. Even but one moment, be no one now. Oh my, anyone now? Oh my, they provoke him to anger. That's the way the Bible put it. But when God said you are not going to enter, let your will be done. He did not fight. I said, God, after the years in the wilderness. Why? But he don't fight God. God said, you are not going to enter. But see, that's the privilege I want to give you. That is the strength of relationship. That is the strength of relationship. And after that, the Bible says, he died. He lay down. Closed his eyes and transited. There was no affliction. There was nothing. That was the agreement with God. And he left. But see something. Numbers chapter. So the Bible says. So I want you to reckon that God said about him. Before I read Numbers, God said about him that the servant of the Lord. Moses. He did not omit the servant of the Lord. Even though he did not enter into the. He was not going to enter into the promised land. And the Bible says. There has never been a prophet. Since. In Israel. Numbers 12. 3. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man, Moses, was very meek. That's where I took this title. Now the man, Moses, was very meek. Above all the men. Did you see that? You underlined that in your Bible? You carry one? It's underlined in my Bible. Now the man, Moses, was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the hearts, there was never a prophet like him. And the Bible described him as meek Moses. And in comparison, there was no person on the surface of the heart that was as meek
as Moses. That was the submission of God, description of God about him. That who Moses was. And you know the fearful thing. As meek as he was, the people got him angry. These are some of the teachings. That's why I don't want you to miss these classes, these lessons. As meek as he was, some of us, in fact, I'm a boy, or a buro shango niwa. Some of us like this, touch and go. When they touch you like this, inna yo. Do you understand that? Very irritable, some of us. Very offensive, some of us. Very aggressive, some of us. But meek person, the Bible say, in the whole of the universe, yet the people got him upset. And because he was angry at the people of God, the people of God got the man of God upset, and God sided with his people. You must not miss any of these classes, though. Say to yourself, Shola Akande, you must not miss any of these classes, though. You need so much to learn. But let me round up. If you fear God's purpose, it was use of God. And the Bible says that there was no prophet like him. But I want you to see, and I want, besides some of the things you've learned tonight, I want you to learn this. Moses was not born great. He was not born a meek man. He was not born the greatest prophet. He was born like an ordinary man. As a matter of fact, he had a troubled beginning. It is in the Bible that Moses is the first person, albeit the only person, that you can call an abandoned child. He was abandoned after 3 months. There was a law, kill all the children. But the parents hid. They hid him. Because he was a fair child. Did you understand? We can see that from the book of Acts. We will read the Acts account, New Testament account of Moses, both in the book of Acts and the Hebrews. So you will see why the things that happened to him. The New Testament gave us the reason why it happened. But all that we can see was the parents saw this a fair boy. You know, light complexion, beautiful skin, lovely child. They must not kill this child. We must hide. He was a child that was, you know. They kept it. But after 3 months, they couldn't because, you know, babies will continue to cry. They will continue. Say, they will find out. And then they abandoned him on waters. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, your background is not enough to stop the purpose of God for your life. A lot of us, we cried about our background, where we came from. And we allow it to affect our purpose, our destiny, and the direction of our lives. We compare ourselves and say, if I'm like XYZ, his parents are intact, they are rich, they have money. And so, but me, then complex enter into your life. Inferiority complex. And then you begin to lose your identity because of your background.
You don't have parents that are rich. They didn't send you to good schools. So what? What about an orphan? Has no father, has no mother. This is a child that was abandoned. Do you understand? He was abandoned in hope. The parents, we can't keep this child again. They come and kill it in the house. And they put on waters. And they trusted God that something positive will happen to him. I want you to know that purpose will preserve you. No matter your background, purpose will preserve you. As a matter of fact, because of purpose, God will cause situations to work together for your life. So, your purpose is greater than your birth. Your purpose is greater than your background. Your purpose is greater than the vehicles through which you came to this life. God will watch. God will ensure that you are kept. You are not kept because you are fear. You are kept because of purpose. You are not kept because you were born handsome. You are kept because of purpose. I want you to wake up tonight. Wake up from pity party. Wake up from feeling bad. I had nobody to sponsor me. I have nobody to help me. I have nobody to finance me. I don't have a house. Sleeping under the bridge. You know? Walking and I have no clothes. I have no job. I'm just managing. Wake up from that. Wake up. And look into the future. Look and expect the destiny helpers. If you stay from your bad background, you refuse to let go, you will kill your purpose before your purpose begins. You will live your life in pity. You will live your life, you fall into inferiority complex. You won't be able to stand. Whether you can speak English, whether you cannot speak English. When an honorable member, when he could not speak English in the House of Assembly, people rose for him. They said, is English our father's language? You understand that? He said, some people said, he can't speak English. He said, is English our father language? They say he cannot speak English, but he's doing well in his constituency. The people that can speak English, they are not doing nothing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you, I want to introduce you into this series to say that Moses ended up great, but was not born great. Moses ended up fulfilling purpose, but he did not start that way. Please put yourself together, put your life together, and break shackles. Break away from your background. Break away from your disadvantages. Break away from whatever has held you. If you can break away, you get into the purpose of God for your life. Don't allow your background to limit you, to determine your future. You have a great future in God. You were born for a purpose. Anyhow you were born, purpose is greater. If you are born in a hotel, 5-star, purpose is greater. If you are born in a manger, purpose is greater. If you were born in a micra, purpose is greater. Because at the end of the day, it's purpose that we see. It is not the way you were born that will matter. Can we go home? And we return to church. Sunday, please come. Tuesday, please come. Like I said, do not miss it. It's a series that will change your life. Endeavor to come. Except you are not in Ibadan. You understand? If you are in Ibadan, wherever you are, be coming. Be walking to church. Carry bike to church. Fly bike. Like the people that arrive, I say, I fly bike. You know, if you have a car, get fuel into your car and be coming. If you don't have enough car, carry your car on your head and be coming. Make sure that you're in church, you know, to listen to this. Thank you for coming. I commit you to the grace of God, which is able to keep. I commit you to the word of God, which is able to build you up. God bless you. See you next meeting.